forget. I'm not sure it could. They say time heals everything, but I'm still waiting. I'm through with doubt. There's nothing left for me to figure out. I've paid a price, and I'll keep paying. I'm not ready to make nice. I'm not ready to back down.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Thursday, November 8th, 2007 edition of The American Awakening. This is your host, Michael Herzog. I'll be with you for the next 2 hours. I wasn't here yesterday, and I apologize for that. And I came on the air, and I told you guys it was because I was going to court on behalf of my stepdaughter. And so today, I'm sitting here looking at this. I've got Lindsay McKenzie coming up after the break with country comparisons. But for those of you who didn't hear last week when I announced it, my stepdaughter was in an auto accident, and I'm going to walk you through this again when Lindsay comes on, because I'll tell you, I'm looking at what I'm looking at here on paper, getting ready to tell you guys about this and have Lindsay tell you about it. And frankly, folks, I still can't believe it. This, if it wasn't for the fact that I'm sitting here living this story as it's ongoing, if you came to me and told me that this happened, I flat out wouldn't believe you. And as we go into this, and we relive the events that happened and the court appearance yesterday, you're going to see what I mean. We're going to go on a little bit after that. We're going to talk about country comparisons, basically the attitude or apathy, if you will, of the mainstream American public as opposed to people in Scotland, how they react to different situations as opposed to how Americans react to situations, and give comparisons. And there's a few different events that Lindsay's going to share with you that will kind of give you an idea of the difference between Americans and people that live in the UK. That'll be interesting. But when she comes up after the break, the first thing we're going to talk about is we're going to reiterate this auto accident that happened a week ago Sunday. And then when I get through with that, we're going to get into the court appearance yesterday and what happened there, which I have to tell you, folks, I went to court in February in Scottsdale, Arizona, and their procedure was that you watch a 15-minute video of your supposed constitutional rights. Then before you ever reach a judge, there's a paralegal sitting there that has a plea bargain waiting for you. I guess that saves time or whatever it does. Well, that, interestingly enough, is not what happens in Phoenix. Now, Scottsdale is right next door to Phoenix, so I was under the assumption that, you know, it would be the same procedure throughout the valley or anywhere else for that matter, but boy, I was in for a surprise. With that, there's not much more to say about it. The only thing I can do is bring Lindsay up after the break and then let her relive it for you, because she was a witness. She was called when this accident happened, and she went down to the scene of the accident, and she witnessed firsthand what was going on down there. So I wasn't there. I can't tell you. I just heard it from her. And there's been a couple other things that have come up that I didn't, that when she shared it with me the first time, I didn't even know at that point. But at any rate, I'll let her tell you about it. We'll be back after the break. This is Michael Herzog, the American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. After the break, I've got Lindsay McKenzie. Stay tuned for an incredible, actually beyond incredible story. Be back in three.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our Renewable Energy Solar Program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our Renewable Energy Solar System converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. Is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
David J. Smith for Newswatch Magazine. Did you know that one goal of international communism was to get our young people's mind off religion by getting them onto sex? By destroying the morals of the younger generation, America would eventually become ripe for revolution without understanding why communism wanted to make young people soft and easily controlled. Have we witnessed this transformation of our young people away from God and the Bible to immorality? We'd like to help you understand how these things are coming to pass by offering you an absolutely free one-year subscription to Newswatch Magazine. Just call our toll-free number, 1-800-516-8736. That's 1-800-516-8736 to request your subscription. Call now. Operators are standing by to receive your call.
It's not a matter of if, but when. If it happens, you want to be ready to give your loved ones a fighting chance. Do not rely on someone else to come through for you at a time when it could be about life and death. Your best chance is Safe Castle Royal, the premier crisis preparedness buyers club out there. Members get everything at rock-bottom pricing with at least 20% off everything in our store all the time and free shipping to the lower 48. Emergency storage food, prefab shelters and safe rooms, and hundreds of other essential products will get you through the toughest of times. Right now you can join the club for only $10, a one-time lifetime fee that gets you some of the best prices anywhere on preparedness products. Please use the coupon code Club Radio when joining to receive your special membership price. Do it now. Go to safecastleroyal.com. That's safecastleroyal.com. Sign up and use the Club Radio coupon code or call 1-877-673-2394 and be on your way to peace of mind that comes with being prepared.
The American Awakening coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. And I have on the line none other than Lindsay McKenzie. Lindsay, are you with me?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. We can hear you fine. Okay, you sound very good. You sound Scottish.
I do?
Yes, would that be?
Because I am.
Okay. Okay, well, you know, Lindsay, you and I had the experience of going to court yesterday over this incident with your car being wrecked. But before I get into that, what I would like to do is I would like to have you walk through. You got a telephone call a week ago Sunday morning where you were advised to go pick your daughter up because she had been in a car accident. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay. And when you arrived at the scene, what I'd like for you to do for the listening audience is describe what you saw.
I pulled in. There was two police cars. Megan was handcuffed, and they were attempting to do a sobriety test, which was quite a bit of a failure because she could hardly stand, let alone speak. So they approached me, and if I remember correctly, the first words were, "Is she always such a smart one?"
But they didn't say one, they said arse, right?
Smart ass, yeah, smart arse, we'll see.
Okay.
So, yeah, she was being a little bit out of order as far as that's concerned. So anyway, she was then put in the back of the police car, still handcuffed. And the police officer told me that they were cutting her a break, and because obviously she couldn't even pass the roadside sobriety test, but they were cutting her a break and not going to do her for DUI.
When you say do her, you mean arrest her?
Sorry, yes.
Well, that's okay. Go ahead. I'll just translate for you. Go ahead.
Okay. And at the time, all I was just totally relieved at that. They let me speak with her, and then they let her out of the police car. They unhandcuffed her and proceeded to give her a reprimand. They wanted to give her a little talking to. This wasn't working with Megan. For as sarcastic as they were being with her, she was just being doubly sarcastic back to them. Her attitude was, if they could speak to her and treat her like that, then she could do the same back to them. Fair's fair. At one point, the police officer tried to tilt her head upright because she was having a bit of an attitude with the head kind of cocked to the side. And when the police officer did that, Megan lashed out, hitting the police officer.
Now, wait a minute. Let me stop you there. Uh-huh. How exactly did she hit the police officer? Was it open-handed? Was it a closed fist? Did she just nudge her, or what did she do?
No, when the police officer tried to move her head, obviously it was from behind. Megan didn't see it coming and just felt her head being moved. So she just basically flayed her arms and shook her head away from the police officer, but subsequently the back of her hand hit the police officer behind her. They then grappled with her, twisting her arms up her back, bending her wrists. Megan's screaming and crying, telling them to please just put her back in handcuffs rather than hurt her like this. So eventually they released her and handed me her citation and basically said, cheerio.
Okay, so let me sum this up. What we've got here is you were called to the scene of an accident. Megan had rear-ended another vehicle.
That's right.
She was falling down drunk. She couldn't stand, or she could barely stand.
Mm-hmm.
She's underage. She caused an accident. She smarted off to a cop. She was sarcastic to a cop, and she literally hit one of the police officers, and they let her go. Is that right?
Yes.
Now, you have since mentioned that story to two or three different Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And what was their attitude regarding to the story?
Absolutely gobsmacked. Gobsmacked. Basically, it means,
astounded.
Their mouth falling open.
Yeah, okay. Right.
They can't believe it.
Right. Nobody can believe it. But now, and this is, I'm still grappling with this, trying to figure out why exactly that the police that are, you know, trained to find anything they can find to arrest anybody would let her go. Now, there was a remark that you mentioned to me that one of the police officers said when they let her go, and that was something to the effect of, if I recall, it was too intensive to process, or what was it exactly?
What they said was, and they were referring to how drunk she was, so there was no mistake whatsoever that they knew the extent of her drunkenness. And what they said was along the lines of her, you know, because she was so drunk, but that she would take too long to process. Was the I'm 99% sure that was the words that were used. She would take too long to process.
Take too long to process, and if it's an American, you know, all they do is just throw you in a drunk tank. But what I can't get my head around here, and folks, I'm going to open up the phone lines here in the second hour, and I'd like to get some input, maybe from Don up in Oregon, former police officer or whatever, about what the real reason, not to what they told her, but the real reason why they wouldn't go to the bother of arresting her. Is it because she's an immigrant? Now, I'm going to shift gears here. This was the incident as it happened. Now, I found out just the other night that she had to make a court appearance yesterday, and she was going to go down there evidently without any counsel or anything. So we met her down at the courthouse.
Mm-hmm.
And I had mentioned to the listening audience prior to this that I had gotten a ticket in Scottsdale, and when I went into the court, they showed a video clip, about 15 minutes, and then they were talking about your constitutional right, your alleged constitutional rights. And then there was, before I ever was able to see a judge, there was a paralegal there that had already had a plea bargain from the prosecutor's office worked out with me. That's the way it worked in Scottsdale. Now, right next door here in Phoenix, what happened astounded me, because we sat in the courtroom we got there maybe 10 minutes before the 1:30 reconvening of the court. And prior to the reconvening of the court, there was very few people in there. And the judge then, instead of the video clip, the judge made an announcement about constitutional rights and waiving the constitutional rights. But yet the people that were there to be tried weren't even there yet. There were some people that were there from the morning, evidently. At any rate, what astounded me, and I wanted to get your take on this, Lindsay, and you were there, you witnessed this, and this is what I wanted to share with the listening audience, is that the judge made an announcement that the first people to be heard in that courtroom, get this, folks, are any Hispanics that did not speak English.
Yeah.
They had the priority. Any Hispanics that did not speak English had the priority. They were the first ones heard. Now, that's the first tier. From there, we go next to the Hispanics that do speak English.
Mm-hmm.
They heard all of those first.
Mm-hmm.
Then the white Caucasians, of which there was only two.
Yeah.
Us. Two groups. We're heard last. So this is the precedent. I mean, this is the precedent that's being set here, is that the American public at large is being looked at by this court system, at least in my estimation, and I want to get your take on this, as third-class citizens. We are to be heard last. Is that the take that you got on this, Lindsay?
Yes. Uh-huh. And I may add that the only two white people that pled not guilty... But I'm sure you're going to get to that bit.
What I wanted to get to next is there was an Hispanic lady that was up, and the only thing that this judge wanted to hear is guilty or not guilty. And I got the take. There was a translator up for one of the Hispanic-speaking people that were staying. There was a heavyset lady.
Mm-hmm.
And this lady was having a difficulty. She wanted to explain to the judge. Her charge was driving on a suspended license. But the Hispanic lady was trying to explain through the interpreter that the reason that she didn't know it was suspended because there was an address change or whatever, and she was trying to get that through to the judge. Well, the judge would have none of it. The judge basically told the interpreter to tell her, I'm going to explain this one more time. You have a choice, guilty or not guilty. End of story, cut and dried. Now, the difference between this court and the Scottsdale court that I went into, which, by the way, was full of people, I mean, this is a heck of a business here that they've got going, folks, is that I had the opportunity to look at a plea bargain before I ever went to see the judge to make a plea of guilty or not guilty. In this case, I came away with the attitude there was a number of people that went up there that really didn't know what was going on. They hadn't heard their rights because they weren't in the courtroom when the judge explained them. And she basically just said guilty or not guilty. So a person that is looking at being charged with several counts, like as in the case with Megan, she has, I don't know, what, four counts.
Yeah.
A naive individual going in there not knowing court procedure and not having it explained to them would, of course, walk up and plead guilty to the charges without knowing what their rights were or not knowing what it is that, you know, what remedy that they have, if any. So I saw a number of people, you know, basically pleading guilty and getting booked on all their charges. I'll continue with this after the break. Stick with us. We'll be back in three. I've got more Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. We've got much more to cover. Stick with us. It's going to be a great show today, folks. Be right back.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering. Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. A short segment coming up to the bottom of the hour here. And as I was mentioning, you know, Lindsay, correct me if I'm wrong here, but what I perceive this as is that the judge was no nonsense, just, you know, give me a guilty, give me a not guilty. And then when the people, and there was 95% or better of these people that pled guilty only because they didn't know they had any other choice.
Yeah, that's the impression I got. I think you got the same impression, that everyone that said guilty, when it was guilty or not guilty, it wasn't a case of guilty. It was, you know, silence. And then sometimes she would repeat it and they'd shake their head and go, guilty. Which to me just seemed like pure frustration at, okay, I'm going to say guilty, but I don't think I am. Or, you know, it just seemed like, as you say, they didn't have a clue.
Well, and to add insult to injury to this, once they say that they're guilty, she finds factual basis, in her words, to find, you know, guilty. She fills out some paperwork. Then she hands it to them and directs them down the hall to the prosecutor's office, who then will tell them what their penalty is, which to me just floored me. because, you know, she doesn't pass a sentence. In other words, it's almost, I equate it to like a spider web. You're walking into a spider web that you don't even know you're walking into. And, you know, the people that were there that were being heard did not hear their rights because she had read off the rights or the, you know, what the procedure was before they ever came into the room.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm looking at this as nothing more than a cash cow for a corporatized city that is just running these people through the mill. And I'm talking about loads of people, and it's unbelievable. Now, let's go back for a minute. Okay, so knowing all this, we instructed Megan, in seeing what we saw, to go up there and plead not guilty immediately. Now, she was
That's
in
right.
and out of there in less than a minute. Okay, mm-hmm. And then she was instructed that she's again to appear at the end of the month for a pre-trial conference, right. Now, in that case, now they will, I'm sure, have the plea bargain all worked out because they don't want to go to the expense of giving her a public defender. They don't want to go to the expense of having a court trial or whatever, so they're going to offer her something.
But yeah, it's get your money as quick as possible. What, another thing you didn't mention was that she was calling people up two at a time.
Right, she would call people up that had the same charges leveled
right.
against them and
they
take them both at once.
They didn't know each
time.
Other from Adam. she would call two names. They both got them. Now you're both charged with blah blah, and it would be the same thing. How'd you plead guilty? Right, guilty. Yeah, right. And these people had no connection to each other whatsoever. It was a case of just getting them through. And that in itself, I thought, was atrocious. Calling two people up, it was like a cattle mart.
And so for somebody who is awake, somebody who really knows what's going on, like you do, because you're associated and affiliated and married to me, you realize now that what you had originally deemed the United States to be and the propaganda that was put out about, you know, land of the free and the home of the brave and this place to go and you can make your fortune here. Has that attitude changed any since you've been here?
Oh, drastically. We had this conversation. You know, and you always say, this isn't the America I grew up in. Meaning you. This isn't the America that I remember from years ago. I've been visiting this country for over 30 years, back and forth, different states and everything. So that in itself, no, from years ago. But actually coming here and living here and seeing what you wouldn't see as a visitor or holidaying, it just, I'm just, well, to use the phrase, gobsmacked.
Astounded.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's literally nothing like you thought it was going to be.
No.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Now, I want to graduate from there because we've covered this. Yes, we have to go back to court on the 20th, I don't know, later on this
28th.
Month. 28th. Okay. And then they're going to most likely have a plea bargain there waiting for her. And you know, depending on what it is, whether she takes it or not. But now you've been here for a little over 3 years,
mm-hmm.
and I want to bring up the fact that you have, on a number of different occasions during that tenure here, you have been pulled over by police officers in Phoenix or you know Glendale or whatever. You've been pulled
mm-hmm.
over a number of times.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in Phoenix,
mm-hmm.
can you tell me how many times that you've been pulled over in Phoenix?
Phoenix. Well, in total, I've been pulled over 11 times.
Okay, 11 times. Now, are you a bad driver?
No, I think I'm a good driver.
Okay.
I maybe speed a little bit, though I have got better. But out of those 11 times, 10 of them were in the state of Arizona.
Right. Now, out of those 10 times that you got pulled out over in the state of Arizona, how many times did you get a ticket?
None. None.
Okay. So what would you attribute that to? I mean, when you hand them your UK driver's license, what is their attitude?
I don't know about their attitude, but visually, you just see their brain shutting down.
Okay,
and
let's hold that thought. Let's hold that thought. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in three. We've got a lot more to cover here, folks. Stick with us. Very interesting, making some comparisons between here and Scotland. We'll be back. Stick with us.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference. Do you have a high electric bill? Do you use an electric company that just provides you expensive electricity? Not anymore. Visit www.energyswap.goambit.com and take advantage of a new way to save on your monthly energy bill. Ambit Energy provides the same reliable service as your current provider and the best rewards program in the industry. Save up to 20% on your electric bill. Rates as low as 10.99 cents per kilowatt. No cost to switch. Flat rate plans. Reward program. What more? What could you ask for? How about a free gift? Try Ambit Energy Service and receive a free getaway for two. Sign up today. 888-238-6397. That's 888-238-6397. Visit our website at www.energyswap.goambit.com and use the tool generator to calculate how much you can save on your monthly energy bill. 888-238-6397. Currently in Texas and New York only. Other states coming soon.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my guest, my wife, Lindsay McKenzie. Now, Lindsay, on that subject again, you've been pulled over 10 times in the Phoenix area. My question is this. When the police, you mentioned that they shut down, mentally they shut down. Do you find them looking, you know, trying to find a way to get rid of you? Do they keep you there for a while and lecture you? Do they, you know, talk about the weather? What exactly do they do?
A combination. I've had the odd one that's, you know, wanted to give me a lecture. I remember, I think it was maybe the second time. I mean, I didn't even have my UK driver's license on me. I had no ID, which of course is absolutely unheard of here. But like I say, it was very early on, and it took me a long time to adjust to where you can't leave your home or go out in public with some sort of ID on you. And I remember the police officer saying, when I said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I don't have anything on me." And he, you don't have ID. You, how am I supposed to know who you are? And I wasn't being cheeky. And I turned around and I said, "Well, just ask me and I'll tell you." And I was being genuine. Of course, like I say, that was early on. Now, there was nothing he could do. His hands were tied, other than arrest me or whatever, because I didn't have ID and I didn't have my driver's license. But ultimately, to cut a long story short, he let me away. Another time, a police officer pulled me up over, and to start with, he was shouting at me. He was intimidating me, and he wanted me to stand at his side, which to me was very difficult to have a conversation with him standing side by side. So as I would be talking to him, I would gradually be moving around to face him, unaware that I was doing that, and he'd scream at me again, to, "Ma'am, stand at my side." And I was nervous. As you know, the police here make me nervous. And he made the comment, "You seem awful nervous. What, you know, what's wrong?" And I said to him, I says, "Well, one, you're shouting at me, and two, you've got a gun."
Because the bobbies over in the UK, they don't wear guns.
They right. don't speak to you and treat you like a second-class citizen just because they're a police officer. Much as that's what I would like to have said to him, but, you know, I said, you know, well, one, you're shouting at me, and two, you've got a gun. Which then led to, "Oh, well, where'd you come from?" And I said, and one thing led to it when I said Scotland, he goes, "Oh, yeah, that's right, the police don't have, oh, land of the golf," and blah, 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 and had a conversation, then it was cheerio again, "Watch your speed."
So, well, touching on that for a moment, you know, the comparison, you know, you get pulled over by a police officer here, and I've shared with you some of the video clips of these young girls being tasered and guys that are being beat up and tasered and dragged off and so forth. Now, you've seen those, and you had mentioned to me off the air that just the physical presence with the bulletproof vest and all the guns and the tasers and the, you know, the pepper spray on their belt and so forth, that in itself is intimidated. Plus, that they are, it looks like they're almost trained to walk in an intimidating fashion. But if you compare that, to the bobbies over, you know, where you come from in Aberdeen, Scotland, uh-huh. Now, you know, describe the attitude or the demeanor of your typical Scottish bobby.
Well, and let's make it clear we're generalizing here. We're speaking about my experiences, family, friends, and yes, I lived my whole life there. I'm sure there's rotten ones and all the rest of it, but generally, really, the police, they take pride in the fact that they are there to help, to protect, to serve the people, the public. And generally, that's what they do. They will approach you very friendly. And if they can help you, they'll do everything in their power to help you. The exact opposite to what it is here. Here, it seems like they will do everything in their power to scupper you and confuse you and intimidate you and scare you and all the rest of it. Now, if you want to give me to give you a scenario, I can think on an occasion where I was pulled over at home. I had a myriad of things I had done wrong or that was wrong with my vehicle. And at home, you don't have to carry your documents. You don't even have to carry your license. If you get pulled over, you get a little ticket and you get to choose which police station you'd like to take your documents to show them that you do have a license, insurance, MOT, which is a roadworthy test, that your vehicle is roadworthy to be on the road. I had none of this. I didn't even have an MOT in this scenario. So you get 7 days to produce them. The 7 days passed, and I thought, shoot, I haven't produced my documents. So I looked at the slip, and here was the police officer's name and what police station he was working out of. And I called the police station, and I actually got to speak to him. And I told him, "Hey, I forgot to take my documents down, and I can't find my MOT. And he saw Lindsay, like as if he knew me. Lindsay, he says, whatever you do, when you find your MOT, don't take it down to the police station because the 7 days are past and you'll get done for that as well. He says, look, he says, when you find it, he says, or I'll come, but I'll drop by the house sometime. And, you know, how, and you can show me it. And that's what he did. That's, I mean...
But okay, now, now
you're laughing, and it is. It's,
well,
it's
and the reason I'm laughing. The reason I'm laughing is because now we're going to make a comparison. We're going to take the experience of the impound of your vehicle, okay? Yes. Here, when Megan had the accident, and I want you to tell the listening audience. Sorry, I don't mean to laugh, but it's funny now. I'm fast. What kind of stress and hassle that you went through, and how many times they changed the story? I mean, it's like they have a parading group of police officers, and you never get to talk to the same one. So just share just for a minute or two what happened to you over the impound and how many hoops that you had to jump through to ultimately get your vehicle back.
Yeah, well, of course, as you say, you'll never get to speak to the same one. And the reason for that is so that the next one can tell you the first one was wrong and told you something wrong. So obviously you never get to face this one that told you something wrong. You get someone else and so on and so forth. And this went on for a week. I think it was 5 trips down to Washington Street, always with another document or something else that they had told me I needed to get or I needed to do before I could get this vehicle out of impound. So it took a whole week. It took until the middle of the week because the accident happened on the Sunday. I was down there first thing Monday morning trying to get the car out. It took till the middle of the week until eventually... a police officer said, I'll tell you what you need to do. And I said, please do, because that's all I've been trying to get from someone. Before they told me something else, albeit it was wrong as well. But yeah, they had me jump through every hoop imaginable. And once I jumped through it, they would give me another one.
So this officer told you to do what exactly?
The first officer told me that I needed to get insurance on the vehicle, and I told him, well, how can I get that's what she was done for, was no insurance. So there's no insurance on the vehicle. How can I get insurance on a vehicle that is totaled? And he said, well, yeah, he said, I doubt very much if there'll be an insurance company that'll insure a total vehicle. He says, but you need to get insurance. And you need to have a valid driver's license. He said, my UK driver's license wasn't valid. And I said, well, what if I sign the title over and get someone with an Arizona driver's license who is on the title and who has insurance comes down here. Oh yeah, you can do that. But if you do that, the car will have to stay in impound for 30 days. And I said, why? Oh, to stop you from getting it out early.
And so ultimately what this officer did is he said what you should do is just sign the title over to Shamrock
Towing. That's
right.
He said, right. Well, if it's total, he says, just sign it over to Shamrock Towing. And I said, why would I do that? I am so out of pocket as it is. I want to recoup something. I need to get something out of this. Surely I can get some salvage or something from the car.
And this is the same officer that when you made the next trip down and you explained that situation to the next officer, and I was with you on that one, Officer McHugh, he instructed you that officer that you'd been talking to wasn't even an officer. Isn't that right?
Oh no, that first one was. The second one was that I spoke to shouted at me, ma'am, listen to me. The officer you spoke to, i.e. the first one, didn't understand what you were saying. And I says, what part did he not understand? He said, he presumed you had insurance on the car. He didn't understand you didn't have insurance on the car. Now, I knew where I was going next, so I asked him to repeat that. So he repeated it again, even angrier. And I said to him, oh, really, I find that peculiar, because if he didn't understand what I was saying and he presumed that I had insurance on the vehicle, then why did he tell me to go and get insurance for it? And why did he think that there wouldn't be an insurance company out there that would insure a totaled car? That's peculiar, if he didn't understand me. And there was just silence, and he changed the subject.
Right, and then that's when I came into the picture. And And I went down and talked to a different officer who told me, or I talked to an officer on the phone who told me to produce an insurance policy.
That's right.
If I produce an insurance policy on any car, that they would allow me to, as long as we showed a marriage license, they would allow me to take the car out. Well, I went down there.
That's right. That was the bum that told me that on the conversation where he said the first police officer didn't understand you. And he turned around and said,
okay, all right, Okay, stop. Look. So the police officer that I talked to the first time I went down told me when I got there that the policy I showed him wasn't good enough, so I had to then come back, go down there again. Ultimately, to make a long story short, there was 5 trips made down there, and at one trip they had told us to sign the car over to Shamrock Towing. And when I did my investigation on Shamrock Towing, this company is owned by another company out of Chicago that is a Delaware corporation. Shamrock Towing has not only federal tax liens that have been implemented against them, but also have been sued more than once and never showed up in court. So the police department, one would assume, being a benevolent organization, wouldn't be dealing with somebody who violates the same laws that they're supposed to be protecting. So in that sense, the whole situation is very curious. But I wanted to simply make the comparison between how you're treated here in respect to having to deal with a police department as to how you are treated in Scotland as far as having a fix-it ticket or getting a ticket or whatever, and then the procedure that you have to go through. And so that's the difference. So the bottom line is, if you had your choice of which department you would rather deal with, would it be the Phoenix Police Department or would it be the Scottish Police Department?
The Scottish Police Department. I mean, I can't emphasize how they really do want to help you. If they can tell you something that you don't know, enlighten you and help you fix something, They would be more than happy to do that. Anybody out there that's ever visited Scotland, it's the nature of the beast, so to speak, that's what we're like, and the police force are no different.
Okay, well, moving along. Now, I want to touch on another subject, and this is about not my listening audience, because as you know, my listening audience is pretty weak. There's some new listeners, some of them are skeptical, so they're learning as they go along here. But you waitress for a very, very pretty popular restaurant here in Phoenix, and you had a lot of customers that really loved you. Mm-hmm. And you would enter into conversations with them at one point or another. And they would say things like, since you were foreign and you had a Scottish accent, they would always, talk about how wonderful this country was and, it's the greatest country in the world and things like that. And then because you were married to me, at some point in time, if a conversation turned political, you would, not being able to help yourself at one point or another, insert a statement, regarding Bush or regarding something or another. Now, overall, what kind of attitude or what kind of mental picture would you say that the average American has from your experience of dealing with these people on a political level or as far as, how much, if at all, they're propagandized?
Oh, well, as you say, 3 years. I'd worked in that establishment for just over a year. And I must admit, Michael, that at first, the majority of people, if I even broached on the subject, was a land of the free, the brave, and this is the best country to be in. You're in the best place, the richest country in the world. And I just shake my head. But as time went on, and more recently, I was actually quite surprised at how many people really did know what was going on, or if they didn't, they had a good idea. But here's the difference, is where they really don't say anything. It's only because I wouldn't let it drop, because I'd be interested. The fact that they did feel that way and they did think, hey, this isn't the greatest place, and our government's this and that. So much as they wouldn't really want to speak about it, I wouldn't let it drop. And so, like I say, recently I was quite surprised at how many people obviously have wakened up, but they don't seem to want to do anything about it.
Well, it's funny that you mention that, because that was you're walking me right into the next comparison.
I thought I was.
Yeah, how about that? That was
I'm getting as good as you, eh?
Yeah, that was your intuition. Okay, so your perception of the average American is that, yes, okay, over the period of time that you've been here, that you've seen some of them that are waking up to the point where maybe they think something's wrong, they don't know what it is, but they know things aren't right, if you will. But they don't say or do anything or take any action about it.
No.
Okay, so when we get back after the break, I'm going to take that and lead into you giving us an example of what you think they should be doing about it and what they would do about it in Scotland. We'll be back at 3. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my guest, my wife, Lindsay McKenzie.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Thank you.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my guest, Lindsay McKenzie. A short segment coming up to the top of the hour here. I'm going to open the phone lines up right after the top of the hour, folks, 800-313-9443. Feel free to call in with your questions or comments. And if there is a Don in Oregon or one of those former police officers out there, if you're listening today, I'd like to hear what your thoughts would be on why it would be that the police department would just not bother to arrest Lindsay's daughter and just let her go, especially in light of the situation and what she did. But getting back to where I was, Lindsay, okay, so they, you know, you see that they're upset. They don't really say it. The American people really don't say anything. I mean, they complain about it, but you don't see them taking any action.
No.
Other than to complain or, you know, spout off the negativity of what they think's going on. Which brings me to, you know, gas prices here, the cost of oil per barrel has been going up. The dollar is going down. Gold prices are soaring. And, you know, you've been here long enough to see quite a bit of fluctuation at different periods of time in the gas prices.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen them go from as little as sometimes $2.30 a gallon up to $3.30 a gallon in a very short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And would you say that, you know, it's the same thing? The people complain about it, but they really don't do anything about it.
They don't do anything about it. To the point where, you know, I have heard some people up in arms, you know, and just, ranting and raving. But that's about all they do.
Okay, now let's take that as an example over in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what would happen if the people in the United Kingdom were to see a spike in the gas prices, such as we have seen here on so many different occasions? What would they do?
Oh, it would be, and I've seen it, just an absolute uproar. But they actually do something about it. It's affecting their livelihood. It's affecting their life. So they physically do something about it. And gas prices are nothing compared to what's happening here. And people won't get up and do something about it. So, yeah, one example was gas prices. And I remember back in, I think it was 2005, they tried to put the gas prices up. And the whole country practically came to a standstill. The haulage companies blockaded. It was about 6 out of the 8 major oil refineries in the country, ports, everything, so that petrol couldn't get to the gas stations, which in turn would, and they're telling the people, get out there and fill your car up and, you know, bleed all these gas stations dry to where they've got no gas. And that's exactly what happened. I remember going to the supermarket to do a weekly shop, and there was hardly anything on the shelves. So that's the kind of effect that the people would make to voice what they felt was wrong.
Okay, so as you had mentioned to me off the air, they institute a specific gas price in their legislation or whatever on an annual basis, and there really isn't any fluctuation with that, and then the people work that into their budget.
That's
so
right.
If they try to shift that during the year, that's when there's an uproar, is that correct?
Exactly.
Okay. All right, well, we're going to go to the top of the hour break, folks. Second hour coming up. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Please feel free to call in with any questions or comments you might have. My guest, Lindsay McKenzie, will be back after the top of the hour. Stick with us. We've got more.
With research.